Aren't you grateful for his love this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. No greater love is there than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. I'm so glad he came and did what he did. I'm so glad there's an empty grave. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Psalms 139 in our Bibles. Praise the Lord. It says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Heavenly Father, it's so great to be the seed of the Almighty. Lord, for we know, Lord, that you can't be lost, neither can we. And we can't be separated from you nor from your love, Lord. So indeed, if we made our beds in hell, Lord, we can't stay there. Father God, it's by your grace, Lord. It's your sovereign grace, Lord God, that rests upon each one of us, Lord. It's your sovereign grace that provided a way for us all to come together this morning, Lord, to worship, Lord, knowing, Lord, that there's an empty tomb across the sea, Lord. The stone was rolled back, Lord. You barred a grave, Lord God, because you weren't going to stay there. And we're so grateful that you're alive today, Lord. You're alive in each one of us here, Lord God, and we're so grateful. And Father, as your presence is here in our midst, we ask that you anoint us afresh, Lord, that you move upon this congregation of your children, Lord, that you would move upon our pastor, Lord God, move upon the musicians, Lord God. Have your way in this service, Lord God. We do worship and praise you, Lord, because of who you are, and we give praise to your precious and holy name. We love you, Lord, as we commit this service into your hands along with ourselves. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Living in me to tell the world that he is the same. He's the same yesterday, He's alive and well. let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. That song had been on me all week, but I never could find the verses. Couldn't find them in the song books. They don't have them in the back, so I wasn't going to attempt it. Praise the Lord. Let's sing this little song together. It's called Calvary. Amen. That's where he paid the price. Aren't you glad for Calvary?
Just for me. Oh, Calvary. Oh, Calvary. The Lamb gave his life to set me free. Just for me, say Calvary, oh Calvary, the Lamb gave his life to save me. Just for me,
come on, sing.
Say Jesus went. To save a wretch like you and me. That's love. That's love. Oh, they hung him high. They stretched him wide. Stretched him wide. He bowed his head. For me he died. They hung him high, they stretched him wide. Hallelujah. He bowed his head. For me he died. That's love. That's love. Oh, I like this verse. Hallelujah. Say, the glory is for 3 days late. He rose again. That's love. That's love.
Hallelujah.
But that's not how the story is. The story is 3 days later, he rose again. That's love. That's love. But that's not how the story is. 3 days later, hallelujah. That's love. That's love. That's love. That's love. For 3 days later, he rose again. That's love. Oh, that's love. Say, that's love. that's love.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What a love. What a love. Hallelujah. Say, but that's not how the story ends. For 3 days, 3 days. That's love, love, y'all. That's love. But that's not how the story ends. The story ends, no. 3 days later, he rose again. That's love. That's love.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for the love. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
May have your seats.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention? I'd like to introduce to you in this corner of the good and the right stands a champion all robed in white. His height exceeds the heavens, weight outweighs the world. His reach reaches everywhere, his age is ever more. He's higher than the heights, he's greater than the great. No one could ever take his crown away. Than the mightiest, he reigns from above. He's the all-time undisputed, undefeated champion of love. His hometown to enter this arena to raise his hands in victory for you and me. But you see, there was an angry crowd that cried, "Crucify him!" He who wore the crown, and they watched my champion going down. But I will never count him out, 'cause I'm a witness of that day he rose to proclaim champion of love. He reigns from above.
undisputed, undefeated champion of love. Oh, yes, he's higher than, help me sing it. He's greater than the great. No one could ever take his crown away. He's more mighty than the mightiest. He reigns from above. He's the all-time undisputed, undefeated champion of love.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Amen. He won the victory for us all. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. We have a few specials this morning. Sister Burrs, will you come this morning? God bless you.
Of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, and lest I forget thy thorn crown round, holy. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. How many is grateful for Calvary? Amen. The victory that was won there. Praise the Lord. God bless you, Sister Burris. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. Brother Troy, will you come this morning? Praise the Lord. Lead me to Calvary. Hallelujah.
Should have said amen. And I had a song that I was going to sing, and after that song, I feel that atmosphere just changed just a little bit. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many just love the Lord? Amen.
praise the Lord. Amen. He came to seek and save that which was lost. Amen. He will not pass you by. Hallelujah. What grace, what love. Amen. How can you not serve a God that's searching for you? Amen. It's written, he came to seek and save that which was lost. Amen. You are already in his mind, so you had to be lost. If you were never lost, you can never be found. Amen. Aren't you glad that he came searching for you? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. We don't have any written requests. We want to continue to pray for one another. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this Easter morning. Amen. The sun is risen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, Brother Troy. Thank you so much for that special. Amen. Sister, you have the announcements. Praise the Lord. On Friday, God bless you, Brother Wisdom. Happy birthday to you, my brother. Praise the Lord. Amen. We have Sister. Oh, I'm sorry. Sister Abby, God bless you. Her birthday will be on the 4th, be Wednesday. God bless you and happy birthday. Praise the Lord. And one of the little darlings of the church. God bless you. Amen. We have communion and foot washing service today at 5:30. Also, Sister's Prayer will be Tuesday at 7:30. And the tent meetings in Okeechobee, Florida will be April 27th and 28th at 7:30 p.m. God bless you, saints. Brothers, will you come this morning? We'll take up this morning's tithing and offering.
Jesus, you just surround us, Lord, with your presence, Lord God, as we just enter in, Lord, in the service, God. Just pray, God, you just bless the service, Lord, in a very special way, Lord. Bless Brother Jack. Use him, Lord, in a very special way to bring forth your word to us, Lord God, today. Bless the offering, Lord Jesus. Bless those who have and don't have. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Knees are falling, you pay.
Sister Shonda, could you come this morning? Praise the Lord. There's only one that declared us not guilty. And he bore our sin. He paid the price for us. He is both our attorney, judge, and jury. His name is Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to invite Brother Jack to come at this time. God bless you, saints. Thank you for the atmosphere. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. You have won the victory. Say hallelujah. You have won it all for me. Lord, death could not hold. Lord, you are the risen King, and you're seated in majesty. Lord, you are the risen King. Say
together. Thank him for winning the victory just for you. He didn't have to do it, but he did. Amen. Why don't you just turn around and greet somebody and say, Happy Easter. Specials and everything this morning, just the presence of the Lord being in this place, no better place to be than here in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I'm going to, amen, just go right into the word of the Lord. Thank y'all, musicians. Appreciate you all on today. Amen. Appreciate the Lord Jesus this wonderful Easter weekend. Amen. We honor our Lord and our Savior for his great sacrifice, amen, that he did there at Calvary. And the Lord did that thing. Amen. He did it well. He did it well. Amen. We're so grateful, amen, for him. Praise the Lord. If you all would just turn with me, amen, your Bibles to Luke 24. So good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Amen. This morning, Luke 24. Luke 24, and I'll just read, amen, first 12 verses here. This scripture speaks of the resurrection, and we just want to try to talk a little bit about that on today. Certainly, it's a common thing for people to talk about the resurrection on Easter, and sometimes I'm not a traditionalist, but sometimes I like to try to, you know, do the best I can to get into the channel, amen, because I know folk come to church, they want to hear the Easter sermon, amen, and but you can never talk enough about what our Lord did, amen. I mean, if we came every Sunday and heard that, it'd be glorious, amen. So we certainly thank him for that. But let's read here in Luke 24. It says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. That scripture means a little bit more to me because I saw, I went inside and he's not there. And I'm grateful for that. It says they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Amen. Another scripture that proves that angels were men. Some of them were men. Some also had wings of cherubims and seraphim and all that. But it says, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just bow in a brief word of prayer. God, we are grateful for Calvary. We realize that had it not been for this great event, we wouldn't be where we are today. So we're grateful that we have the opportunity to stop and just reflect on what occurred there. And as we would just enter into the word of the Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit would just help us to, Lord, just to capture the essence of this. And may we, God, just feel your spirit. Thank you for every person that's come into the house of the Lord. Maybe there are others that would continue to come. And as they come, God, meet us all here in a very, very special way. May you get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We take every spirit that is against the Spirit of God underneath the control of the Holy Ghost. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. In the presence of the Lord. Amen. We want to just take for our title today, the third day. Amen. The third day. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you just join me on this journey, amen. Most of y'all that are familiar with Christianity, you already know what happened on the third day. You already know what happened, and but it's a story that we can never get enough of. Amen. It's the greatest story that has ever been told. And it's still impacting lives of people, amen, of what occurred that third day. I want to start by reading out of a sermon. It is the rising of the sun, amen. And let's just start here. It says, the first light was ever given in the earth was God's spoken word. Amen. The first light that ever struck the earth was God's spoken word. He said, let there be light, and there was light. That turned darkness into light. And in order to bring forth a creation of joy and life upon the earth, then the Spirit of God, as it moved with love and compassion at that great day, the first day of the dawn of creation upon the earth, the sun rose and swept across its rays and dried up the waters from the earth and made an atmosphere above. And for its first time, it was to bring joy and life to the earth by a seed that was a great hour. Now, we're going to go further in this, amen. And when God was there at creation there in Genesis 1, there are very certain days. I know on the second day, the third day, a couple other days, he would do something, and then he would say that it was good, right? He'd make the comment. You'd see him say it was good. But I noticed as I went back and just began to read something on the sixth day when he made man, I didn't see him say it was good. And I wonder why God would not say on the day that man was created. Now, there's a couple reasons that, you know, I could give you, amen. One, I would say to you that he didn't have to say it was good because man was made in his image. Right. But another reason I could say that he didn't say it was good, because they knew it was just getting started. Hallelujah. There were some things getting ready to happen. Amen. And the things that were getting ready to happen are the things that created a need for a third day. All right. I hope y'all stay with me. Amen. Let's keep reading here. All right. And he says, let's see here. The first day of the dawn of creation upon the earth, the sun rose and swept across its rays and dried up the waters from the earth and made an atmosphere above. And for its first time, it was to bring joy and life to the earth by a seed. That was a great hour. But, oh, it was nothing. It wasn't nothing, that sunrise, like the sunrise on that Easter morning. this time with the sun leaping into the skies, it brought forth a greater sunrise than ever, because it came greater news with this sunrise than it did with the sunrise at the beginning. Hallelujah. And let me tell you something. You haven't really experienced a sunrise until you've had the S-O-N rise in your life. Glory to God. Say, this sunrise brought a news that he is risen. He is quickened from the dead as he promised. He's risen from the dead. The first time the sun rose in Genesis, it was bringing a message that there will be life upon the earth, mortal life. But this time when the sun rose, there was a dual sun rising, another sun rising, S-O-N rising. It was not only S-U-N rising, it was the S-O-N had risen to bring eternal life to all God's promised seed that by foreknowledge he had seen laying upon the earth. It says no more could the botany life live back there at the beginning without the S-U-N to bring it to life, no more than today when the sons of God is upon the earth. It takes the S-O-N light to bring them to life. Amen. To eternal life. And that's what we're praying and hoping for, that God would allow the S-O-N light to shine today. Amen. Because Easter is not a tradition. Amen. Easter goes beyond that. Amen. Easter is something that we all should experience personally. Hallelujah. We talked about on Friday night having your personal Calvary. But amen, you also need to have your personal resurrection. Glory to God. Amen. That's what Easter is all about. He says, so when sons of God is upon the earth, it takes the S-O-N light to bring them to eternal life. His chosen ones that he knew before the foundation of the world, he had chosen them in himself before the foundation of the world. And on Easter morning, then in this dirt somewhere laid our bodies at that time, for we are the dust of the earth. And in heaven there was a book of memory, and his attributes was in him, knowing that because this Son of God raised, it would also raise to life every son that was foreordained to this great time. He knew it would be, and what a more glorious sunrise that was than it was at the beginning at time when it first dawned. Now he goes on into some other statements, but we'll leave it right there. Amen. We are looking for it, what we're grateful for, the first sun, amen, that rose to bring mortal life onto the earth. But amen, it was the Easter sunrise, the third day that brought, amen, the Son of God out of the grave. And that is what gives us eternal life. Amen. That's the greatest life that you could ever have. And we found out on Friday night, amen, that sons of God, amen, have the ability to impart that eternal life. Amen. I trust today that somebody will receive an impartation of eternal life. We don't want you just to approach this out of tradition. We're trying to give you something. Amen. Something that transcends the life that you're living right now. Amen. Something that gives you hope even after you leave this life. Amen. We want to impart eternal life. And we can give it to you through the gospel. The good news of the gospel can give you eternal life if you could believe it and receive it. Hallelujah. All right, let me go on to another quote here. I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 4. Praise the Lord. Just bear with me on today. Amen. Now he says, now watch. He says, now watch, that was the third rest. Now, and what he's referring to here is that in Hebrews chapter 4, there were three rests that were offered that God gave. The first rest was where God rested on the seventh day. After he had done all his creation and everything, on the seventh day, the Bible said that God rested. The second rest was when he gave Israel their Ten Commandments one of the commandments was to honor the Sabbath day and to keep it holy, right? They were supposed to rest, amen, on the Sabbath day. I know we don't do that anymore, amen, but, you know, it used to be time businesses was closed on that day, you know, and everything, but it was a we rested. Right. Praise the Lord. We honored that particular day. But here, you know, the third rest was the rest that we would find, amen, in Christ. All right. And, you know, we were invited that if we were weary and we were heavy laden, then we were supposed to come and bring our burdens to the Lord and say and that's where we would find rest. Amen. You can't go to the psychiatrist and find rest. You go to complain about your problems. Now they're talking to you about their problems. And you find that, are you the psychiatrist or are they the psychiatrist? Right? Say you can't find rest in another person. You can only find rest. You can only find rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The woman at the well was trying to find rest as she was going from man to man. She could not find rest that way. She can only find rest when she came in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, so and we're invited, you know, as believers to labor to enter into his rest. Amen. The rest that only Christ can give. So now as we read this, as now watch, that was the third rest he gave. The first, God received it from his work. Second, Israel received it in the law. Third, the church received it as part of God. Three is the number of life. That's a statement I want you all to catch. Three is the number of life. How many knows that? It says every time you see three, it's life. Notice when God created the earth on the third day was life. How many knows that? The third day there came life on the third day of creation. He also says the Trinity, the Father was above the people in a pillar of fire. The Son was a man who talked to the people and got them ready. The Holy Ghost was the third step, which was the Holy Ghost, God in the people. Life, right? So he says the rest of God, the rest of Israel, the rest of the church, the Sabbath keeping. So he says three is life. Now, I wanted to just kind of focus on that, amen, just a little bit because maybe let me just read one more quote here out of the deity of Jesus Christ. We're going to kind of get into that three just a little bit. So three is life. Three is life. He says, now Jesus comes three times. He came the first time to redeem his church. He comes the second time to receive his church. And if I could just be honest with you, that's the time we're living in right now. Amen. It's good to look back to what happened 2,000 years ago, but we also better keep our eyes on what's happening right now. Amen. So, amen, everybody celebrate Easter, and they're going back 2,000 years ago, but they fail to recognize what God is doing now. He came the first time to redeem, amen, his church, right? But he comes the second time to receive his church. And if I could just, if he came the first time, you ought to be assured that he's coming the second time. Right? He comes the third time with his church. Everything in the Bible travels in trinities, threes, but all in one Christ. Remember the first time to redeem his church, the second time to receive his church, the third time with his church as king and queen. Amen. Let's just go a little further. I'll stop there on that statement. So we're talking threes. Threes is life. Three. When we look here at this three, there were three rests. Amen. Spoken of in Hebrews 4 that we just mentioned about. God rested on the seventh day. Israel resting on God resting at the time of creation on the seventh day. Israel honoring the seventh day of the week. Amen. As a Sabbath rest. And Christ himself became a rest for us. Every weary soul had the opportunity to enter into Christ and receive rest. Amen. Another three was the coming of Christ to redeem his church, to receive his church. And the third time is with his church. Glory to God. And Jesus' ministry, there was three raisings of the dead. Amen. He rose Jairus' daughter He rose the son of the widow of Nain, and he also brought to life Lazarus. There was three raisings of the dead. Amen. Also, when we talk about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he operates in three offices. Amen. Father, amen. God above us. Amen. The Son, God with us. Amen. But the Holy Ghost is God in us. Amen. And the other thing that separates, amen, Christianity from any other religion is also done in three. And that we speak of today is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. But the prophet told us that, amen, Genesis kind of speaks of this. And I want to just kind of read that if we can. I'm going to go to Genesis 1 and verse 9 through 13 here. Let's just read that. It says three is the number of life. Now let's look at this. This is the third day of creation. And it says this, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. It says, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. Let's go on. It says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass. Now, this is where life is kind of entering in. The herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Now, when you look at that, the seed being in itself, this was already a mature tree. Right. Amen. It's already bearing. OK, so here God says, God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Now, here we see that life, when the prophet actually told us that life, amen, three is the number of life. So here on the third day, this is our first, amen, sign of life that's happening on the earth. Now, this happens before the S-U-N is created and before the moon is created. That did not come until the fourth day. Hallelujah. Amen. I won't go into all of that. But the first time when God said, let there be light, that was the S-O-N light that was being created. But the S-U-N light did not come until the fourth day. But God had put these things in place. Life had begun on the third day. Because three is life. Three is life. Now, I was looking at something here. You know, there was a statement that the prophet made. I won't read this. I'll just tell you where it is. But you don't have to pull this up. He says he was talking about Elizabeth. Amen. And her giving birth to the Lord, to John the Baptist, you know. And when Mary came to just send greetings, amen, to Elizabeth, when she came, Elizabeth was at a place where she had a baby, amen. She was pregnant with John, but the baby was not moving. She thought the baby was dead. And the prophet made a statement. He says, now anyone knows that's altogether out of the ordinary. 'Cause 2 or 3 months and life is felt. In 2 or 3 months, life is felt. But this had been 6 months with no sign of life. Now that baby was dead 6 months with no life. Amen. And she said she was worried about it. Now 6 months, there was no life. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to tell you that some of us have been going a lot longer than 6 months with no life. Amen. You might be living and breathing and all those other things, but you don't really start living until you know Jesus Christ. Amen. Right? But here it was 6 months, and when we got these, you know, we're talking about these threes today, because when you got 6 months, you got two threes. Because 3 times 2 is 6. Right? 3 plus 3 is 6. Right? So you got two threes here. And here in the 6 months, when Mary approaches Elizabeth and she begins to say, well, you know, I'm also pregnant too. And saying the angel came down and told me that I was going to bear a son and I should call his name Jesus. Now, you know, as soon as she spoke the word Jesus, a baby that had been dead for 6 months received life.
And I wish it was the same if I could just say Jesus and see people receive life. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Right? But you know, it's three represents three. Three is life. Three is life. So, you know, another thing that I found as he was just kind of talking about that, you know, it says two or three months life is felt. I say 2 or 3 months life is felt. I say, let me go back and look at this a little bit deeper. And I began to just kind of study that when a lady becomes pregnant, you know, she goes through three trimesters. She goes through three trimesters in her pregnancy before she brings forth life. Right? Amen. And not only does she go through three trimesters, amen, but if it's a natural birth, then she goes through three stages of labor. So it's three trimesters and then three stages of labor once you get there. Come on, somebody. Right? See, the early labor to the 3 centimeters dilated is the longest and the toughest phase. Hallelujah. See, maybe when he went to the cross, that was the toughest phase. But on the third day, brother, everybody's frown turned to a smile. The third day brought life. See, in three stages of labor, if it's a natural birth, early labor, the 3 centimeters dilated is the longest and the toughest phase. And then the second phase is from 3 centimeters to 7 centimeters dilated. Amen. That's the second phase of the stage of labor. All right. But the last stage, amen, of labor is when the woman goes from 7 centimeters to fully dilated. Amen. Which is 10 centimeters. Now, I'm going to tell you, when she get there, you better make sure, if you want to see the baby born, you better be there then. Because once she hit 10 centimeters, things begin to change in the room. I can hear somebody in the mother's ears, and they start. Now, before she get there, they tell her, now, be careful. Don't do this, because she's trying to get rid of this. She's trying to let this go. She's trying to. I mean, am I there yet? And they tell them, don't push now, don't push, because you might hurt something now. Don't do that. Just wait. The process has started. It may seem a little difficult, but God is working. Sometimes she's in that stage for hours. But when she gets to fully dilated, they say, now push. Now push. Hallelujah. Amen. And the church is fully dilated. It's time to push. You know what push means? Push means pray until something happens. Come on, church. Push. 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 She's about to bring forth life. And I believe the church spiritually today is about to bring forth life. We've been praying. We've been waiting. We've been fasting. We're looking for life. Somebody to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. Oh, Easter just won't be one day a year, but Easter becomes your life. This three, amen, we're staying with this three. Hallelujah. Because three, amen, is the number of life. And I just kind of went through the scriptures and I found a number of threes all over the place. And I couldn't bring them all, so I just brought some. I found out that, and I don't know why, it took 3 days for Mary and Joseph to find Jesus. But for some reason, they had gone and they left him for 3 days. And oftentimes we leave the Lord. Come on. We walk away and we leave him. And we go through a certain time period. Sometimes it's 3 days. Sometimes it's 3 years. Sometimes it's 3 months. Amen. But we go through, maybe something happened and we go through and we leave the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, if you leave him, you know where to find him. Ain't no sense in going looking nowhere else. You're going to find him right where you left him. So the quicker you can get back there, the quicker you can get some life. You know, Jesus' first miracle that he ever performed was turning the water into wine. And the good thing that I found here in Scripture is that that occurred on the third day. Because it said there in John 2:1, it says, the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Can we just go ahead and read that? John 2:1, and amen, let's just look at this. Hallelujah. It says, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Go on to verse 2. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Now, you know, evidently Mary had seen Jesus do a couple things. You know, she wouldn't just go to him like that, right? She wouldn't just run up to him like that if he hadn't done something before. I don't know what he did around the house. I have no idea what this household would have been like. Maybe one day maybe one day daddy don't have enough money to bring no food home. Come on, somebody. And Mary is maybe baking the last cake. And she's like, well, I don't know what we're going to do tomorrow, Joseph. I have no idea what's going to happen in this house tomorrow. These kids need to eat. And Joseph, we going through right now. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, sit down, mama. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. I mean, everybody sit down. We got this thing under control. And they sit down and he say a prayer. And before you know it, the plates are full. Maybe things like that happened in their house, so she had confidence that if Jesus is at the party, if Jesus is involved, then everything will be all right. Look at it. See, the reason things ain't all right because you ain't got Jesus involved yet. That's why you keep struggling. You ain't got Jesus involved yet. When you get him involved, that problem will be over. He can settle it. All right, now, come on. It says, and Jesus said unto her, now, notice the scripture. Jesus said, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Now, remember I said that they lost him in 3 days and they found him right where they left him? Yes. Well, you know, when they got back to him, Mary made a comment and said, your father and I have been looking for you. And Jesus had to correct his own mama. Because, see, Mary was not his mother. She was the incubator that God selected or elected to bring forth his own self. But God don't have no mama. God don't have no daddy. God is God, right? So he had to put him straight. Say, now did not you know I'd be about my father's business? At 12 years old, he was correcting her. Oh my God, hallelujah! Because he had to let her know. Now you know you're not my mama, right? You know that, right, Mary? Don't get it twisted now. We're going to go through this thing, but you're not who you, you know, who you claiming to be in front of these people. Now, if you go back and read the scripture, you'll see that later on, it'll say that he was just, he began to be obedient, you know, to everything that they was asking him to do. And say that he grew in, I got it, I can't read all this. Y'all, Luke 2, y'all go find it in Luke 2. Luke 2, verse 45 and on from there, y'all find it. But he grew in wisdom, grew in knowledge, grew in strength. And I'm like, Jesus growing? Yeah, he sure enough did. That's what the Bible says. I'm staying here with John 2. Okay. But so verse 4 said, Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. He had to call a woman because she was not his mother. Right? His mother saith unto the servant. Now you can imagine how does John write this? Do I write that? I mean, I know he was she carried him, but you know how he write his mother. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there was set there 6 water pots of stone. Divide that, you got 3. All right, there 3 times 2 is 6. 3 plus 3 is 6. Here we go, some more threes. So there was set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. So his first miracle happened on the third day, where he turned water into wine. And when he turned the water into wine, he completely bypassed the process of how wine was supposed to be developed. Completely bypassed the process. Hallelujah. God has a way of just when he told the disciples to bring the fish that they caught, and he made fish on the bank, he bypassed the process of catching fish, scaling fish, and cooking fish. Bypass the process. And some things in your life, God gonna bypass the process to get you right where he wants you to be. You all right with that? That's okay? Oh yeah, he can bypass a process. Blessed be his holy name. All that happened on the third day. Can we go a little further? I was looking at Esther 4:16. Esther was in a situation where she was called to be the queen after Vashti had denied King Ahasuerus some things. She was denied. She was rejected. She denied him. Then she got rejected. They got a new queen, and Esther was that queen. And there come a time Esther got a little secure there in the kingdom. She was so happy to be the new queen. And before she went in, her uncle Mordecai told her, now don't tell them that you're Jewish. Don't say anything about it. Just let them go right on. But there'll come a time where you have to reveal it. And they got to a spot where they put out a word that because of Mordecai's stand, they wanted to kill all the Jews because of one man. Mordecai stand because he would not bow to Haman. Haman come up with a law that we're going to kill all these Jews. We're going to get rid of them all. And so Mordecai went and told Esther, he got word that said, now it's time for you to step up and tell them who you are. Now it's time to declare, you know, who you are, because we're going to lose our lives if you don't go in before the king and say something. Right. So now here in what Esther said to him, like, now I can't go before the king. Because if I go before the king and he does not bid me to come with his golden scepter, then I'm going to die. So here in Esther 4:16, Esther's finally convinced, say, I got to do something for my people. I got to reveal some things to the king. So in Esther 4:16, she said, go and gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me. Everybody had to be involved in the fast. This was what we call a global fast, where everybody got involved. If you wanted your life spared, then you got involved in this fast. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days. Look at night or day, I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. If I perish, I perish. But all this happened after 3 days, a 3 day fast. Now, you know, I'm going to let you go and read the rest of that. You go to the next chapter, you'll find some things that it was after 3 days of fasting that Esther put on her royal apparel. She got her best dress and said she stood, this was after the fasting, right? She stood and went in the inner court of the king's house. And she knew that anybody coming into that king's court not being called, it was a sure death. But she got dressed her best. She wanted to make sure the king noticed her. That he recognized her. Now, if you're going to kill me, you're going to kill me in my best. You're going to take me out. You're going to take me out of my best. Amen. You remember this dress you bought for me? Right? I mean, I can imagine how Esther did that. Right? And she went and she just stood there gracefully. Right? Just waiting. Just to see what would happen. But all this happened after a 3 day fast. Hallelujah. So when she stood there, amen, all of a sudden the king took the golden scepter and he stretched it forth towards Esther, and that meant that her life would be spared and she would not die. Because three is for life. Right? So God spared not only her life, but God also spared the lives of all the Jews because of that event that occurred, because three was the number of life. In light of our fast, the Daniel fast. Daniel one time was praying about something. He couldn't get an answer. And it took 21 days for Daniel to get his answer. 21 days is how many threes? 7 threes. Right? And here God would give Daniel this visitation after his fast, and again, 21 days represents 7 threes. Guess what, church? We are also under expectation for a visitation. And I'm expecting God to visit us today. He's already started. He's already started. But you know what? I know there's some things on this cross. It's some things on the cross that's been there for a few years. And every time God responds and answers one of those requests, we take it down off the cross. I'm believing that today going to be that day. Glory to God. Amen. Let me give you another one. Joshua 1 and 11. Joshua 1 and 11. Now, you go back and read Joshua. It's a very, very powerful book, a very encouraging book. Amen. Especially chapter 1. After he told Joshua, Moses, my servant is dead, but now you got to rise up and you got to take the people into the promised land. And say, that's your responsibility. Take them into the land and then divide the land amongst them. He had a greater responsibility than Moses did, right? But here, Joshua, amen, did something amongst the people in Joshua 1:11. He says, pass through the hosts. He says, and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals. For within 3 days, ye shall pass over this Jordan. Jordan represented a death. Amen. You're going to pass over this Jordan to go in and to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Now, they were supposed to get this in 3 days. Now, just line up Joshua 3 for me, verse 1. Don't pull it up yet, but just line it up. I just want to say this here. Here they are, amen, at a place where they have been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. But here Joshua rises up. amen, by faith. And he says within 3 days, we're going into the place that God has promised us. Amen. No longer wandering, but we're actually getting ready to go in and possess this land that God told us that we were supposed to have 40 years ago. Amen. Now, here's what I want to say. I believe there comes a time where the promise that God has given you has to become a manifestation. It has to move from promise to being a manifestation. No longer you just quoting it, but now you got to live it. Hallelujah. Amen. Abraham had a promise of a baby for 25 years. But one day when Isaac was born, it became a manifestation. Listen, Noah had a promise that it would rain for 120 years. But one day, amen, the promise was manifested in Noah's life. The children of Israel wandered for 40 years in the wilderness after leaving Egypt. But one day, amen, God gave them the promise of entering into the promised land. See, the wilderness was not the promise. It was simply part of the process, but God promised the land flowing with milk and honey, and that's when Joshua stood up and said, within 3 days, this promise is going to be made manifest. Now, here in Joshua 3, verse 1 through 5, look at what happens here. And if I'm not mistaken, when they decided to go into the promised land, it was the month of April. If I'm not mistaken, the month of April, it was a really bad time because the waters were overflowing. And I'm going to tell you something. You might be in a situation where problems are just overflowing. Situation and circumstance and all kind of things that are happening. You just don't know what to do about it. But this is the time when your promise is about to be made manifest. You've been believing God for your family. Receive them. Joshua 3, verse 1 through 5. Look at this. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the hosts, amen, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Somebody should have said amen to that. Amen. I'm under expectation. I'm looking, you know, see, this thing moved from just being a promise. Right, this move to manifestation time, and we've been holding on for certain things. And church, I'm gonna tell you, if there was ever time for you to get desperate about what God promised you, that time is right now. That time is right now. If you've been holding on for family members, you ought to be pushing, praying until something happens. Don't let go until something happens. Glory to God. You want to change it on your knees. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Church, this is a time for us to receive what God has promised us. I got another scripture that I want to read to you here because this is another thing about a three. Amen. That was in the scripture. And I just love how the Holy Spirit just kind of put these things. They don't go into the promised land until after 3 days. Esther doesn't go before the king until after 3 days of fasting, right? I mean, all these threes are just sitting there in scripture. I got some more for y'all. I got some more. It's coming. But when you start looking at this, it was all speaking of Calvary, that third day. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I want you to just kind of catch this one with me. Don't let it go over your head. I'm going to a book that you probably haven't read in a long time. Hosea, chapter 6. And I'm going to start reading from verse 1 and 2. Hosea. The reason I make the statement that this is a time where we ought to be more desperate than we've ever been. Because God made Israel a promise. And that promise is coming into manifestation now. Right before our very eyes. And notice what he says here in Hosea 6. Verse 1 and 2 says, come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, will he revive us, in the third day, he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Because the third day brings life, right? So in the third day, Israel is going to receive life. So ever since they rejected Christ and put him on the cross, that gave opportunity to us Gentiles. But there's a promise in Scripture that in the third day, they will receive life. Stay with me. Hosea 14 and verse 4 through 5. Now, as we're getting that, I want to ask a question here that the Lord put in my heart. What if this was our last Easter celebration before Jesus returned the second time? What if this was the last one? Right? And if it's not the last one, I need to put this in your spirit. One day, you will go to church for your last Easter service. How would you approach it if you knew this was your last Easter service? Oh, it's too traditional. It's just way too traditional. But how would you approach it if you knew one day it was going to be the last? That I just read to you a promise in Scripture that is turning from the Gentiles going back to the Jews. Well, look at this in Hosea 14, verse 4 and 5. This is what he promises the Jews. He says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from him. It says, I will be as dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. Now, I just begin to think about that. So if it's possible that we could enter into our last Easter, that one day we're going to hear our final Easter sermon. And I'm not talking about because you died. No, living people going to hear their last Easter sermon. Glory to God. Right? And say because there's a rapture that's ahead of us. Now, if he promised to heal the backsliding of Israel, and we know that this is a season where he's turning, amen, back to the Jews, we realize that that is the hour that we're living in. He said, now, I just thought to myself, before God can heal Israel's backsliding, if this is the end time, then God got to heal my loved one's backsliding. And he promised it to Israel. And I'm going to ride that same promise with my own loved ones. If he's going to heal their backsliding, before he calls Israel, he has to call us out. So I'm expecting him to heal my loved one's backsliding. He told me the promises unto me, my children, those that are far off, as many as the Lord my God shall call. So I'm holding them to his promise. Can I just read to you all just a little bit here out of Recognizing Your Day in his message? Amen. And then I'll slip on down to a few more threes. Recognizing Your Day in his message. It says, oh, how thankful. How no wonder we are so grateful. I feel that we're not grateful enough for the things that God is making known to us. Naked, and the vision said, showed me she was naked and didn't know it, and blinded as Israel was blinded so that the Gentiles could come in. Now the Gentiles are blinded so the bride can be taken out and Israel can receive the Feast of the Trumpets just perfectly. He says, after 2 days, he will revive us or give us a revival, bringing us together, the Jews speaking on these trumpets now. He says, and we shall live in his sight or have eternal life. See, we'll be in his sight. The Bible said that here in Hosea, it says, we shall live in his sight, life, have life in his sight. That's his own life, eternal life, have life in his sight. She that lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. See, so we promised that Israel again would have life in his sight. She's been dead to the facts and to the Pentecostal feast. Now notice carefully, then after 2 days, now that didn't mean two 24-hour days, because that, I said, that happened way back yonder, many hundreds of years ago. So, see, it meant 2 days with the Lord. After 2,000 years, now you know how long it's been since that time. It's been 2,700 years since that, because in Hosea here in B.C. 780, amen, 1964, see, it's been something over 2,700 years ago. He said, after 2 days, in the third day, He will revive us again and give us life in his sight. There's your trumpets coming in. That's the hour that we're living in, the day that we're living. Now they have been scattered, blinded, gathered, and far into the third day. You see it? They were scattered from Palestine throughout the world. They were blinded to reject the Messiah. And now they have been gathered in their homeland, ready for the trumpets to recognize the atonement. Now, when we talk about the trumpets, there was a promise in Scripture in Thessalonians that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, voice, archangel, and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, that's a scripture that pertains to the rapture, but the same trump that is calling the bride out is the same trump that's calling Israel back. Watch that. That shows you how close we are. Now, let me just keep reading here, amen, in this. It says, as the Bible said, as the Bible said, when they receive it and find him with the nail scars, after the church is taken, they say, where did you get these scars? He said, in the house of my friends. And he said, they would separate each family and would cry and weep for days like a family that lost their only son. Remember, the Feast of the Trumpets was to do that, to weep, mourn for the killed sacrifice. They had rejected it. Israel is going to receive that. Amen. But before they receive it, the Gentiles must get out of the way. That's why I'm telling you, amen, one day you're going to enter into your final and last Easter service. Glory to God. Don't let it be traditional. Amen. Have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, because it's time to get out of here. It goes on to say, they're in their land. They were scattered, blinded, and now gathered. And it was all under that sixth seal. Their seven trumpets sounded together, them together, the sixth trumpet. The seventh is that great trumpet. As we had last Sunday, the sixth trumpet sounded under the sixth seal. Amen. Just like our sixth seal opened, everything at the same time, only theirs all sounded at once. Where? We've been 2,000 years in the Pentecostal feast. Now, he goes on. This is the last paragraph I want to get to you. Now, 2,700 years since that time, he said, in the third day, we'll be gathered again. After 2 days, in the third day, we'll be gathered again and receive life in his sight. See, three is life. Right. So here, they'll be gathered in the third day. They'll receive life in his sight. Do you see the promise? The hour perfectly wrote on the wall. We see where we are living now in the homeland, waiting for the Feast of the Trumpets, the recognizing of the atonement, and to wait for the coming, to mourn for their rejection of the first time that they rejected it. They're in the homeland for that waiting. Everything is positioned in place as a minister of the gospel. I can't see one thing left but the going of the bride. And the bride has to be taken away before they can recognize what's happened. They were bound, scattered. I mean, they were scattered, blinded, and now gathered. What's left? The bride to be taken out of the way, waiting for the going of the bride so the prophets of Revelation 11 can call them to the Feast of the Trumpets to make them to recognize what they've done. This is a promised scripture that God said within 3 days, on the third day, he was going to call Israel back. Now, you all, some of you all are already aware of this. Others may not be, so let me just kind of mention it. Last December, amen, President Trump did something that no other president had done before him. A lot of them had made the promise, but they never did it. And no matter, you know, what your feelings are regarding President Trump, can I just, Lord, help me, you know, no matter what your feelings are, because they, you know, they bring up a lot of stuff about the man, and some of it is really true. But no matter what your feelings are, that man did something that nobody else had done. That man decided, he said, we're moving our embassy from Tel Aviv, and we're going to put it in Jerusalem, because we are standing with Israel to identify Jerusalem as their capital city. That was a very significant move according to Bible history. That's a very significant move. And we were the first country to do that. Right? Everybody else was a little afraid because they knew that there was a lot of tension there. Amen. With the Muslims and everything else. But he said it's always been that way, and it always will be. It's always been Jerusalem. And he ain't take it back. No matter what threats came, the man let it stay just like he wrote it. Now, that's significant, y'all, right? Those are significant things that are happening. This year, amen, represents 70 years that Israel is a nation. You know, since they regained their independence and everything, this year represents 70 years that they did that. All of these are significant signs letting us know that we are closer to the coming of the Lord than we've ever been. Stop looking at it as a past tense event, because there's another event on the horizon, and that is the second coming of the Lord Jesus. One day we're going to experience our last Easter. Hallelujah. Amen. Your Easter eggs won't mean nothing then. Right. And what that got to do with Easter anyway? Right. Who went looking for eggs when Jesus rose? And they had no things, no money egg back then. But now, you know, you got kids running around looking for the money egg. Come on, church. I ain't got nothing to do with no Easter. No bunny rabbit. Nothing. None of that got nothing to do with my Lord and Savior rising. Amen. I'm not giving Easter to a bunny. I refuse. Can we go and look at another three? Genesis 22. Verse 2. It says, now take, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. Yeah. And offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now he was supposed to go to Moriah. And for those of you that don't know, Moriah happens to be Jerusalem. And let's just go on a little further. Say, Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Verse 4 says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eye and saw the place afar off. I wonder why Abraham couldn't see this place on the first day. I wonder why Abraham couldn't see the place on the second day. Maybe he was getting a little discouraged that he couldn't find this place where God wanted him to go and offer his son Isaac. But on the third day, Abraham saw the place from afar off. Now, just to go a little further, Moriah was Jerusalem, but the mountain that Abraham was drawn to on the third day was the exact mountain where Jesus Christ gave his life. But Abraham found the mountain on the third day. Why would God allow him to find it on the third day? Because he knew that on the third day, at that same mountain, life would change for everybody.
It said, I won't read it all, but it's in the message, my Redeemer liveth. Brother Branham said, that was a foresight of the resurrection. When Abraham saw that mountain on the third day, he saw the place afar off where he was supposed to offer Isaac. And when he went up there, you remember the story. He went up there and he was offering his son. Isaac began to ask his dad, he said, Daddy, I see the wood, and Isaac is the one carrying the wood. Isaac is carrying the wood up the mountain. He said, Daddy, I see the wood, I feel the wood. I feel it. He say, but Daddy, where is the sacrifice? And Abraham gives these great words. He says, the Lord will provide himself, not for himself, but the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. And it was again speaking of the resurrection, because Abraham, he bound Isaac there on that altar. And my, he went to take that knife, and Isaac was willing to lay himself down on that altar, right? And Abraham had the faith that if God gave me this boy, he already done raised him from the dead. Because my wife was not able to have children, but by God giving me this boy, if he take him from me, God gonna raise him up again. He had that kind of faith. Right. It says, yeah, he said, took that knife, was getting ready to come down on Isaac, and he heard the voice of the Lord call twice out of heaven, Abraham, Abraham, stay your hand. And when he stayed his hand, he said, now look behind you. There was a ram caught in the bush. A ram is not supposed to live on a mountain like that. There's no water up there for them to live off of. But here, the ram that was in the bush, God created the ram and put it there. Notice the ram being a male lamb representing the Lord Jesus Christ. The same mountain that Abraham offered Isaac was the same mountain. And not only, notice that the ram took Isaac's place. On that mountain, somebody took your place. And he saw this place on the third day. You see, Easter is what separates Christianity from any other religion. Easter is where Jesus proved what he spoke. There are some things that Jesus spoke, and I want to hit this if I can. I want John 2:19. Glory to God. These are things that he promised while he was here on the earth. Glory, glory. And East is where he proved these things. He spoke this out of his own mouth. John 2:19 says, Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Right. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. Right. Hallelujah. When he was speaking and telling him, in 3 days I'll raise it up, he's talking about his own body. Also here in Mark 8:31, amen, this is after he has this conversation with the disciples about who do men say I am. After he had that conversation, then he began to talk to them about his death. Glory to God. In Mark 8:31, it says, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. He also says this in Matthew 12. Oh, glory to God. Verse 40 and 41. He says this, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Now, there was a statement that the prophet made, and I won't take all the time to read it, but he says, no, I'll read this, Making a Way. This is out of Making a Way. He says this about that statement on Jonah. He says, that's the reason Jonah had the faith he did. When he had seaweeds wrapped around his neck, standing in vomit in the belly of the whale, way down in the deep of the ocean on a stormy sea. He said, they're lying vanities. But once more will I look to your holy temple, God. God did something. He made a way of escape for Jonah. What he did, nobody knows. That's God's own secret. But no matter whether it was impossible, God can alter circumstances. Oh, I don't know what you're going through. It may seem impossible to you this morning, but God can alter circumstances. He can make the impossible become a probable. And not only probable, they can make it a reality when man take God at his word and accept the provided way that God provided for the man. Says God did something. He might have put an oxygen tent down there. I don't know what he did in the belly of that whale, but he kept Jonah in there for 3 days and nights as a type that Christ would lay without oxygen in the belly of the earth, and on the third day he will come out again. Was a type. He made a way of escape. He always will. I tell you what, he kept Jonah alive somehow for 3 days in the belly of a whale. And so glad that on the third day, our Lord and Savior that went into that ground, amen, on Good Friday, went into the heart of the earth. And, you know, there was a lot of things happened while he was there. You know, it just didn't stop when he went into the heart of the earth. He actually went on down into hell, and he preached to the souls that were in prison that didn't receive the word of God, amen, for their day. He went there, and then he also went into paradise, and he loosed some saints from there. Amen. There was a lot happening within them 3 days. But finally, on that third day, he rose from the grave. And he's still alive today. He's the one that was dead, amen, but he is alive forevermore. He's living and he's alive forevermore. No, I mean, this is our Lord. That's why we celebrate Easter. I'm so glad that I serve a risen Savior. As I make my way back over here to Luke 24. You see, you got to understand, as they were on their way to Emmaus, you know, what had happened, they had, they got a little discouraged. We were reading there, amen, in the scripture, and you know, they had actually heard, because, you know, here they are, the women had gone down to the tomb, and they were going bearing their spices, but, you know, when they got there, they saw the stone was rolled away, and as the stone was rolled away, they heard the two angels speak to them and say, you know, hey, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day, rise again. They remembered his words. It said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here, but he is risen. So here, these women, they went running back to the disciples to tell them what they had seen. And the disciples had a problem receiving this. The Bible said they looked at it as idle tales. Amen. It's just a story that was being told. But when Peter got up and ran down there and told them, he actually saw it himself. He began to ponder on what had happened here. What did somebody come and steal his body away? What happened? Where is Jesus? We're here. You know, they're all in a discouraged state. And these two brothers, one by the name of Cleopas and a man and his friend, they're on the way to Emmaus. And they're a little discouraged because, you know, they had different thoughts about Jesus. They were thinking that he was going to come and establish a natural kingdom here on the earth. They were tired of what the Romans were doing. They were looking for change, and they're expecting Jesus to make the change. Amen. The problem is they missed the change because he did make a change, right? But here, you know, they're a little concerned and they're a little discouraged, and, you know, and because of their discouragement leads you to do things that you normally wouldn't do. Right. But discouragement caused them to kind of leave where they were, and they begin to head back to Emmaus. And but the good thing is, as they were on the way to Emmaus, the good thing they did is they began to talk about Jesus. Hallelujah. And if you get discouraged, just begin to talk about the Lord. And what I want to also encourage you to do, sometimes think about what he's already done. And begin to talk about the things that he's already done, because if he's already done it, then he can do it again. So they began to talk about the Lord, and, you know, and while they were talking about Jesus, you know, they happened to walk by a certain bush. And before you know it, a man jumps from around the bush and he says, "What y'all talking about?" And they say, "You know, are you a stranger in these parts? You haven't heard what happened?" Say, "You know, no, what's happened?" And they say, we talk about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a man, I mean, well approved of God, and we expected certain things from this man, but it's hard to believe that he's dead. It's hard to believe that he lost his life the way that he lost his life. I mean, this was a man that did so much. He could heal the sick. He could give the blinded the blinded eyes sight. He could raise the dead. This man, I mean, he did a number of things. How could he die the way he died? And when he died, he didn't say nothing. He was there in front of Pilate. He had an opportunity to say something, but he didn't say nothing. He said, we can't understand. So, you know, the prophet tells us that these men were on their way back to their old denominational church, the church they got kicked out of. Now they're on the way back. But as Jesus just began to talk to them, he began to ask them questions and say, now, let me pick this up here. Let me pick this up. This is, I'm in Luke 24, verse 19. Hallelujah. And said unto them, "What things?" And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And look, he says, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. It says, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Now, here they are on the third day talking to Jesus and not recognizing that it was Jesus. And now if you go on and you read in that, you'll find out that Jesus, as he just began to keep talking to him, kept talking to him, he finally got to a point where he called them, say, fools and slow of heart. And the reason that they were fools and slow of heart because they failed to believe everything the prophets had said concerning the Lord Jesus. And he said, and he just began to walk them through scripture, say, now, then the Bible say this, and then the scripture say this, and then the scripture say that. He say, but the problem was what the prophet tells, say, it was just too unusual. It was too phenomenal. It was something that they had never heard before. So how could this man raise from the dead? How could he, how could he say things like destroy this temple and I'll raise it up? I've never seen anybody do anything like that. Right? They said this was absolutely impossible, but there they were talking to him on the third day. The 6-hour sermon that they heard this day. And as he was opening scripture and just breaking, you know, the word, and this is why I tell you, I've been telling this and harping on this. If you're going to understand Christ, you're going to have to understand it from the word of God. You got to read your Bible if you want to know what he has done and what he is doing right now. Read your Bible, because that's where he promised it. But here on the third day, they're just still moping along. They done heard a 6-hour sermon, and Jesus just breaking scripture after scripture down, just taking them right through everything. This happened. Didn't that happen? And then didn't they do this to him? And the Bible said this, and didn't they do that to Jesus? And they just going around, amen, that's the number, the truth. But they finally get to the end of the day, and they get to their destination, and they do something there, you know, and at the destination, say, Jesus was acting as if he's going to keep walking. But they say, no. Don't go any further than where you are. Come in with us and dwell here tonight. All he was waiting for was the invitation. And I'm going to tell you something. Amen. You might be going through a lot of stuff in your life, but what Jesus is waiting for is an invitation for you to allow him to come in. When you allow him to come in, he'll change your situation. God can change any circumstance. Oh, God. Hallelujah. God can change any circumstance. If the judge has pronounced a sentence on you to go down for some time, God can change it. Don't limit my God. He's just waiting on the invitation. And don't tell me what he can't do. He can do it, and he can't. The only thing he can't do is fail. Amen. He was waiting on the invitation. When these brothers finally invited Jesus in, and they've been walking with him all day, talking to him all day, and when they finally invited him in, there on that third day of the resurrection, they began to start eating, and they began to break bread, and they said, you know, man, all that word you've been talking about, we know you can pray. Why don't you pray over the meal? And Jesus began to pray over the meal. And the Bible says that he broke bread. And see, there was nobody that could break bread the way Jesus broke bread. See, these brothers had seen the 5,000 eat. They seen 4,000 eat after Jesus broke bread. Right? So just two of them, he broke bread the same way he had done amongst the 5,000 and amongst the 4,000. And as soon as he broke bread, the Bible said their eyes came open. No longer, amen, was it, amen, a discouragement, but they had entered into life. Something had happened to these boys. That here the sun was down, it took them all day to get to the city, but before you knew it, they got light-footed. And they took off running to go back into Jerusalem to tell them that the Lord was risen. And when you come in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ and he does something for you, it'll no longer be a story. It'll no longer be a tradition. But it becomes your life. And you want to tell everybody that he is risen. And all that happened on the third day. A lot of things happen on the third day. They say sometimes three is a charm. And where people get that three is a charm from is because they look at these things in Scripture of all these threes that happened. And on the third day, what the Lord did on the third day, so much is promised about this third day. When God initially established the third day and he put vegetation and everything, he said it was good. It was the only day that he said it was good twice. You know, because he said it was good twice on that day, you know what a Jewish tradition is, that they try to get married on the third day. They don't wait till weekend. They want to get married on the third day. So, Sabbath would be Saturday for them. So they're looking for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Tuesday, a lot of weddings happen in Jerusalem or Israel because it's the third day. And they say that's the time when God said it was good twice. And why would God establish that way back in the beginning? It was good. On the third day, he said it twice because he knew he would rise on the third day. That's when life began, on the third day. And resurrection, eternal life began for mankind on the third day. I don't know what day you on, but you better get to the third day. And you better get there fast, because we ain't got much time. Happy Easter, everybody. God bless you. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're grateful for your living. We're grateful for your dying. But we're even more grateful for your resurrection. Scripture tells us that if there were no resurrection, then we would be without hope. You know, because of that third day, because of the grandness of it, death has lost its sting. The grave has lost its victory. We think of loved ones that have sat next to us here in the church, listen to the gospel. We go to church with them and all grow up in church together and share together. But there come a time where you call our loved ones home. But God, the peace that we have is that our loved ones died in you. And in dying in you, we know that they'll rise again to the newness of life. The question now belongs to us. Are we ready, God, to have our own personal Calvaries? To die to ourselves, to die to our thoughts, to die to our ideas, to die to our ways, and allow you to come alive inside of us. Lord, my prayers today, let somebody experience a true third day, a resurrection where you can look upon them and say, oh, yes, it is good. The same way you did there at the beginning. Reminded of your prophet talking about the young lady that went to the altar once and she wanted to pray. She had some things she was dealing with, addictions that she was battling, and she prayed and she cried some tears and she did all of that, but then she got right back up from the altar and she said, okay, I'm ready to go. And the prophet looked at her and said, oh, no, sister, you ain't got it yet. You ain't got it yet. No, that's not it. You have not reached God yet. And she got back on her knees and she kept praying. And Lord, finally something happened to her in that prayer meeting. Yes. That he could say, oh, now you got it. And he knew that no matter what storms that she faced from that day forward, she'd be okay. God, some of us need that type of experience with you. We've tried to do things and it hasn't worked out, but it's only because we have not come to a place of complete surrender.
my prayer is that somebody would take this moment, this time, to invite you in. As Cleopas and his friend did, they took time to invite you in. And once you got behind closed doors, God, you did something that only they could recognize. Lord Jesus, we know you're living. We want to experience you once more. We want to experience your life. We want to experience your peace. We want to experience your hope. And you're the only one that can offer it to us. So deal with our hearts, God. Even now, let it be a true Easter in every heart. It's in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus that we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to his precious and holy name. Amen. Can we just worship the Lord just a little bit? Amen. I want you to think about Calvary this morning and what it means to you. Don't let it just be a tradition, but understand that without Calvary, you would have no chance of seeing God. There'd be no heaven without Calvary. No opportunity to see your loved ones again. It's Calvary that produced that for us. I want you to just reflect on that and in your own way, just begin to worship him. Begin to praise him. Think about what it means to you on today. Stand to your feet and help me worship him. I am grateful for the things. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Let's worship the Lord. Yes, I am grateful for victories won, and I could go on. Hallelujah. Because I'm grateful, grateful, so grateful, just praise you, Lord. Come on, flowing from my heart, flowing from. Honey, it's you, are the issues of my heart. Gratefulness is gratefulness. Hallelujah. Come on, let's sing it one more time. Let's sing it one more time. I am grateful for the things you have. Thank you for Calvary, Jesus. I am grateful for. Thank you for rising again.
And I could go on and on and on, say about your works. Yes, because I'm grateful, grateful, so grateful. Just praise the Lord, flowing from my heart. Hey. Honey, it cheers up my heart. Yeah, yeah, yes. It's gratefulness. Anybody grateful here today? I said, anybody grateful here today? Come on, let them know how grateful you are. Hallelujah. Lord, I love you. Lord, I praise you. Come on, say grateful, 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 grateful. Yes, I am grateful, grateful, grateful. Gratefulness flowing from my heart is flowing. Come on, say grateful, grateful, grateful. Come on, say grateful, grateful. Hey, grateful. Hey, flowing from my heart. Come on, lift your voice. Say grateful, grateful. Say grateful. Lord, I'm grateful. Yes. Flowing from my heart. Come on, sing it again. Say grateful. Thank you for Calvary. You saved a wretch like me. Hey, gratefulness flowing from my heart, yeah. Come on, sing it again. Say grateful. Lord, I'm grateful. Yes, I'm grateful. One more time, grateful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey. Flowing from my heart. Oh, flowing from my heart are the issues. Flowing from my heart, come on, say it again. Say, flowing from my heart are the issues, yeah. His gratefulness, oh. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Truly, our Lord is worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be his holy name. Thank you, Jesus. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, and from the earth to the cross, my debt you paid, and from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Come on, let's.
Let's sing it again.
You came from heaven to earth to show the way and from my debt you paid, my debt you paid, and from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high.
Come on, Lord, I lift your name on high.
Hey, Lord, I lift your name on high.
Come on.
Hey, Lord, I love to sing. Hey, I'm so glad. Yeah, so glad you came to save us. Oh, come on, say you came. Show the way from my debt you paid, my debts from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky.
Lord, I live. Hallelujah. Come on. Now put your hands on it, everybody. Clap those hands.
Say you can. To show the way,
hey,
yes you did. My debts you paid,
yeah.
From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I live.
Hey,
come on, sing it again.
Hey,
sing.
Come on, can I just hear the congregation?
Yeah, you can show the way.
Come on, y'all, to lift your voice.
Yeah, my debt you paid, the cross to the grave.
Yeah,
grave to the sky. Oh, Lord.
Come on, everybody.
Hallelujah. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. Say you came,
Brother Solomon,
to show the way. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh,
I say thank you, Jesus. My debts you paid.
Hallelujah.
The grave to the sky. Oh, Lord, I lift.
All right, one more time. Lift your voice.
Yeah, come on. You can. You thought I was worth saving, so you came to change my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving, so you came. You thought I was worth keeping. You cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. Say hallelujah, oh glory to the God who changed my life. And I will praise you, I'll worship you, I'll give you glory forever. So I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. Hallelujah, oh glory to the God who changed my life. And I will praise you, I'll worship you, I'll give you glory. You deserve it, Lord. You deserve it, Lord. Hallelujah. So I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving, so you came. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know.
Heavenly Father, what love, what matchless love, Lord. A love that can't be compared to, Lord, that you would sacrifice your life. Not only did you give your life, Lord, but you conquered death, hell, and the grave, and you rose again the third day that we might be justified and receive eternal life. Father, it was all your plan, and it was shown throughout the scripture that that third day would be a special day. There will be a dual sunrise, Lord, and at the rising of the sun, Lord, you also provided a spirit, and it's written, if the spirit of him that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, that spirit will also quicken your mortal body, Lord. And I'm so grateful that you sent back the Holy Ghost, Lord, that we may have eternal life. And Father, I pray, oh God, that you'll continue to rain down, Lord, your spirit upon your children. Grant a refilling to those who have it and those who have yet to receive it, Lord. Fill their vessels, Lord God, as we receive the warning, Lord. The hour is late, Lord God, and we need you. We need you in this hour, Lord. The gospel is turning again to the Jews, and the Gentiles' days is coming to an end, and the rapture is at hand. Help us all to make ready. May there not be one person under the sound of the voice, Lord, that's lost, but may all come to the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask, oh God, that you continue to bless and anoint Brother Jack in a special way. Lord, use your servant, Lord, not only him, but anoint your people, Lord. As we prepare to leave this place, Lord, but never your presence, Lord, we commit ourselves into your hands in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen and amen. God bless you, saints. You may have your seats. Our brothers will come and dismiss you. Happy Easter to each and every one of you.